presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
And go indeed. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com, as my chair is taking me all the way down to Hades there. My goodness. Good to be with you on this Wednesday installment of the show. My name is David Tewksbury. Thanks again for joining us on this, the 16th day of the month of July. Chad Becker, late model winner from this last weekend at Brown County Speedway. He'll be joining us quarter past the hour here. Lots of local notes to get to today, as we had some Legion baseball from Tuesday. Also, the SDGA Sanford International Series was out west in Rapid City. A couple of golfers out there from the region, a couple right here from the Hub City and surrounding areas. Talk about that. And again, the doldrums continue. Let's be honest. This is the doldrums, but you know what? We make it work. We're a daily sports talk show, Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Again, we're joined alongside by the Cobra on this hump day. Matt McClure, how are things there, sir?
Doing all right. How are you doing today?
Not too shabby. Feel like my voice is getting a little bit better.
Yeah, you sound better.
A little bit better. It's getting there, slowly but surely. And just did a tour here at the Hub City Radio Studios, and big shout out to the North Central kiddos out there. And I got to tell you, off the air, I said, I'm just not a very good tour guide. I had an ex-girlfriend of mine. That was her thing. Like, freshman year of college, she was a tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
So incoming freshmen or seniors that they're thinking about going to Marquette, hey, like, check out Johnston Hall, or here, check out Cobean. And that was the all-girls dormitory there. And, like, she was just a really good tour guide. I didn't pick that up from dating her, apparently.
I thought you sounded all right. I had my door cracked open. You did a good job, I thought.
I made it through it.
Yeah.
I made it through it.
Yeah, you know, the good thing is you say, hey, you have any questions? That's the big thing you got to do, because I'm certain those kids had some good questions, and you can answer them the best of your ability.
Absolutely. And that's kind of my saving grace. As soon as I got started, I thought to myself, hey, if you have any questions, please do not hesitate to ask. The worst is when you're giving a tour or a speech or anything like that. Hey, questions, anybody? Yeah, and then those crickets.
It happens.
It does. It happens more often than you would think. So the crickets were not out. Had some really, really good questions there with the kiddos there. So appreciate them taking some time out of their schedules and joining us for this Wednesday. All right, the Cobra, McClure. Ooh, that's good. McCobra. That could be a thing.
That could be a thing.
All right. Okay. We'll work on that. It's not too shabby of an idea. The McCobra, the Cobra here right in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Let's get to the jump here on FSA. And, you know, we talk about things to look forward to. We're certainly looking forward to baseball getting back here in the mix on Friday as the Twins return to the diamond, as they'll take on the Colorado Rockies, 7:40 for your first pitch on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Byron Buxton, of course, representing the squad there in the All-Star game along with Joe Ryan. And, you know, it was nice to see the All-Star game yesterday, and it was just it's a no contest. Baseball is so much better than everything else when it comes to these All-Star games. And the game was basically a blowout, and then it wasn't. It was 6-0, NL's running away with things there a little bit. I kind of shut the TV off, and I got a text message from Sundberg. First thing I saw this morning, he goes, you know, why are they doing a home run derby to determine a winner? I was like, what are you talking about? 6-0, that was a blowout. Then I watched the highlights this morning, and I thought to myself, you know, that's not a terrible idea for
an All-Star
game. Great idea.
I loved it. I said it on my morning show this morning when I was talking a little bit about the Twins and just baseball in general. I thought it was a great idea. It's kind of like having a three-point contest when the game's tied when you're playing with your buddies. But the only difference is these guys can hit the ball 400 feet, so it's like, hey, let's have a home run derby contest. The winner wins the All-Star game. Big fan of it. I like how they wear their jerseys. Like, they don't have to have some special jersey. You're wearing your home white or gray jersey. Just everything about the All-Star. You can't fake 99 miles an hour coming at you. You're not going to throw Ephesus in there, so it's a home run derby contest. You know, kind of like in the NBA All-Star game, no defense. It's no such thing as that. It's the best All-Star game going. I think it's old school. They have a little fun when the game's tied. It doesn't happen very often. You saw a comeback last night. Everything about it was great. They had the pitchers wired, which I thought was cool. Clayton Kershaw is literally on the mound. He's talking to the play-by-play and color guy. Hey, what do you want me to throw here?
What do you want, Smoltz?
Yeah, this is awesome stuff. I'm just a big fan of it. I watched it, and it's America's pastime. It's the best. I'm a big fan of the MLB All-Star game. It's not even a contest with the other four major sports, in my personal opinion.
I think we would both be in agreement that hockey is number two.
Yes.
And then it's the rest.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the All-Star games.
NBA's probably three because the NFL doesn't have one anymore.
Right.
And it's not really a close second. I'd say the NHL just because you can't fake that either.
Right.
So I'm a big...
You can't fake effort.
No, you can't. And that's exactly why I'm enjoying it. Like, Paul Skeens is throwing 99 up and in at the All-Star game. I love it. Heck yeah.
I'm here for it. Absolutely. So I think we both are in agreement, and I think most people are in agreement that Major League Baseball doing it up quite well there last night. And I'm okay with the home run derby to decide the winner, but let's just keep it there. By that, I mean, let's not make this a thing in regular season games, like Game 89.
Yes.
Like, it's cool, it's an exhibition, it's fun, it's lighthearted, now that we've reached the end of this game. But now, of course, these sometimes are how a new idea is born in the future. It's like,
yes,
hey, that was a lot of fun, All-Star Weekend. Why don't we make that a regular thing? No.
No.
Let's just keep it the way it is.
You got to keep it at the All-Star game. You want to do it for that, I'm fine with it. We already do the Ghost Runner at second thing, which
yeah,
I'm not a fan of at all. I'm not a fan of that at all during the regular season. So if they say, hey, this was such a big hit, let's do it during the regular season, there's going to be a select few. Oh, that's a great idea. A baseball purist might say this is the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen. So I'm not about that at all. I'm with you 100%. We can't have that during the regular season. Can't happen.
Speaking of the dumbest things you've ever seen, saw this on social media yesterday, as on Monday you had the home run derby, and they've come up with these graphics. We've been ragging on graphics all the time that we're on the show.
Yeah, probably since the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, how bad was that score bug?
Yeah, and guess what? Before you know it, that score bug's going to be back, but go ahead.
Dear sweet heaven, I hope they came up with a better idea. But basically, between Cal Raleigh and Brent Rooker, they were coming up with how long the home run went down to, like, the decimal point. Did you see this?
I did see that. And there was a moment where it decided who finished in front of somebody
right,
by the decimal point. And the guy that I think lost, it might have been even Rooker.
Yes.
He lost. And he's like, hey, I'm not going to do this again if we're going to do this Dewey Decimal system they
yeah,
got going on here.
As Michael Kelso would say, I know a lot about Dewey Decimal. That's a That 70 Show reference. But yeah, 470.535174053 feet. Are you kidding me
with
that?
What is this, National Pi Day? 3.14?
what's it, 3.1415, and that's about all I got.
Yeah.
That's about all the distances or digits of pi I've got. But, yeah, you're down to the decimal point, but we can't still figure out other things in America. But we can get the home run in terms of down to the decimal point. Johnson would say, child, please.
That was so bad.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. Speaking of unbelievable, the Braves, they created the Bless Your Heart Dog for All-Star Week. It's a deep-fried, foot-long hot dog rolled in hot Cheetos and Fruity Pebbles. Does that sound interesting or appetizing to you?
No, the Fruity Pebbles lost me, I gotta tell you. I didn't see that one coming at all.
It's gonna be a pass for yours truly as well. And oh, by the way, we're getting closer and closer to football season. Looking forward to that. But even before that, how about a local student-athlete? We talk about her every once in a while. Taryn Traphagen, of course, from Groton. And great volleyball player, track and field, basketball, soccer. Again, great multi-sport athlete. But this one came out yesterday as well, that Taryn Traphagen made history at age 16, setting a world record at the Cowboy Mounted Shooting Association National Championship down south in Lincoln, Nebraska. She's now among an elite group in the sport, hitting all 10 balloons in 11.863 seconds during a mounted barrel run, a standout moment in a fast-paced high school competition. Our thanks to the Aberdeen Insider, Ryan Martin, brought that one to my attention. But, I mean, what more can Taryn Traphagen do as a student-athlete?
That's incredible. Well, you talk about the multi-sport, what she's able to do, and then to do something like that as well in less than 12 seconds. Are you kidding me? That would take me 10 minutes, probably.
Maybe a little bit less than 10 minutes.
A little
minutes.
Less, you think?
Well, it is mounted. Have you ever shot a gun before?
Like, maybe two times.
Okay.
My aim, it's not like it's a rubber band gun.
Sure.
You know, this is a little bit different here. I'd be shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe 10 minutes, you're onto something.
Yeah, Ted, I'd say anywhere from 8 to 10 minutes that would take me. It took her 12 seconds.
Wow.
Somebody out there is listening, like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah. Well, that's very, very impressive indeed. So volleyball, track and field, basketball, soccer, and now a world record as well in that context there to boot. And also of note, we're getting closer and closer to football, and word is coming out of these new jerseys. They're really not new jerseys. They're just basically callbacks to the old ones. The Chargers are going back to their San Diego Charger days. They had a couple of new looks there yesterday. And also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are celebrating their 50th anniversary by bringing back their iconic 1976 jerseys.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to both the Chargers one. I mentioned it last week that I'm a fan of the Chargers jerseys. The other ones that they had, I wasn't the biggest fan of, like the yellow and the gold, all gold, no. Yeah. But the navy blue with the blue helmets, blue pants, I'm all about that. And then is there a better throwback jersey than the 1976 Creamsicle Bucks one? I mean, you can maybe mention the Seahawks one, but there isn't much better than that. And I texted you yesterday, they play each other. They're both on their 50th year of football. If you don't wear that jersey, you got a problem. Like, the Seahawks need to be wearing their throwbacks. The Bucks need to be wearing those creamsicles when they play each other in October. It's got to happen.
Fire the equipment guy if they don't. I mean, clearly, that's one thing they have to be doing for sure. And, yeah, I'm with you. The all-gold jerseys there for the Chargers, that looked awful.
Yeah, not a fan of that. It's just too bright for me. Way too bright.
Back in the day when I did presentation college, they had an all-gold jersey. Not great.
I mean, it's probably easy to see from a broadcaster's perspective.
Oh, it's terrible because the numbers were white and they really didn't have a huge outline around the number. And the jerseys always kind of rode up a little high.
Oh.
So sixes kind of looked like eights. And I'm like, is that six? Is that eight? Is that Dylan
Paulson?
Why didn't
they go green numbers?
I don't know. They didn't ask me.
Yeah, I think that would have made more sense because isn't it gold and green?
Yeah.
Their colors?
Yeah, that was their color. They had great jerseys. That was not one of their combinations that was great. And their all blacks were so good. They had great, great green tops and black pants. Their jersey combinations were outstanding at PC, but their gold ones, gold on gold, you look like mustard.
Yeah. Well, if they play the Chiefs,
oh yeah,
it'd be ketchup and mustard game. If
yeah,
the Chiefs went all red.
Yeah, we don't need that. We don't need to have that for sure. All right, upcoming next in the program, we're going to talk with Chad Becker, late model winner from this last week at Brown County Speedway. He'll join us live in studio after this. I love this song. It's just bopping. I'm like,
this is like a Steve Winwood remix. song.
Bingo.
There you go.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I got a good music palette.
Get a load of this guy over here. Holy moly. Chad Becker joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I did not see that coming. You were hitting the nail right on the head. As Chad Becker here in studio on FSA, did you hear the intro to that? Would you have guessed Steve Winwood there?
No, I wouldn't have.
No, I know.
Yeah, the song's Valerie.
That's
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a great song.
See, I was today years old when I realized that that Eric Prydz song or whatever, Call On Me, is the sample of...
Oh, yeah, the remix. Yeah. Yep.
Totally over my head. But nevertheless, we're going to talk a little racing, and we're talking off the air. That it's been a tough year, just in terms of Mother Nature, kind of throwing some monkey wrenches into things. I think we got 4 rainouts already here this year at Brown County Speedway. But when you have been racing, you've been putting up some pretty good numbers. And, of course, the winner here this last week at the late model. What worked for you so well there at Brown County Speedway from this last Friday?
I tell you what, it's just, you know, I love racing my home track, Brown County Speedway. And then they do a great job, you know, prepping and getting things going and everything working good. And we got our stuff figured out finally here. It's been a little struggle this year because we have a new program, new car, everything, and it's really starting to fit nice to, you know, our liking. And so this weekend kind of clicked them off, and we got 4 in a row now. With last week we won a big one, and then this weekend, and then Sunday night we won in Watertown, and so hopefully we can keep it going.
So how long did it take you to kind of get comfortable with the new program and the new car? Did it take a little bit? I mean, you mentioned a couple weeks there, my guess is, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It took us a month and a half to get, or maybe even 2, to get stuff dialed. We started early in the year and went over east and raced some and tried to get it liking different tracks. And just when you get a new program, cars like different things, driver, motor, everything. You got to kind of get your balance. And we finally got that rolling. We got some really good help behind us, which is huge too. So,
what went behind your decision to kind of change things up this year to go into a new program? Can you kind of unpack that term, new program? What does that really kind of mean?
Well, we run the same chassis brand, I want to say, race car, MB Customs, what we used to run. Run that for probably 9 years now, something like that. And they've been really good to us. We're fast and have won, you know, a few national titles in them and lots of races in them. Just wanted to go a different route, and some other guys behind us that kind of wanted us to go this way. It's a Longhorn chassis with lots of different stuff under it, different program within shocks and different suppliers too. So it's kind of fun, kind of different. Sometimes you need to change up a little bit to get back into the swing of things, you know, harder and more exciting.
I was watching the stream yesterday of some of the races, and it's a pretty short track. You know, it's like pretty, you know, is it tough to get some acceleration on that track at all at the Brown County Speedway just because of how quick it is with the turns? It feels like you're always turning. Is that fair?
Yeah, you are, but it's not short by any means compared to some. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like Watertown's probably half the size of it, just about.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah,
okay.
It's a little short quarter mile. And I like them both because they're both elbows up. You got to get after it, and it's not just motor or car. It's a lot of driver involved in it, you know, and so they're fun. Like back in the day, we run here on a lot, which we only run that once this year so far, and that's a big track, adrenaline rush deal, you know, there. But and that's what was always nice for our 3-night swing we had for years, Aberdeen here on Watertown. You had 3 different style tracks, hugely, which definitely helped your driving, you know.
Chad Becker here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. This may be kind of a dumb question, and don't take offense to it, but you talk about winning national championships, and you've done some great things with your prior program. Why would you want to change it? Because you've done great things with your prior one. Now you're like, I want to try something new. Was it just kind of like an itch that you're like, I just want to try something different? I mean, to prove I can do something in a different program. Like, why did you end up changing?
A little bit of that, to prove we can do something different with a different program. A little bit of that's true. I feel like their last 2 years, year and a half, and what we had before wasn't changing or progressing. We were just, and we were still running races, but we weren't, I want to say, getting better. I mean, it needed a change. You know, you're kind of getting too comfortable. You know, sometimes you just got to change and move on. And we sat in that program a long time. You know, before MB Customs, I was in a Masterbuilt for, I want to say, too long. We won a lot of races in there, too, and won our first national title in that. And then we jumped into MB stuff, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, eyes lit up. Where we go? And I got to feel that's where we're at now. It's a different change and with stuff, and I don't know, it's just kind of something exciting.
So what's your schedule look like? We had Mike Stearns in here last week, and he said, and you we talked a little bit about it off the air, you're racing Minnesota, North Dakota. Are you racing multiple times a week? How does that work there for you?
From here out, we'll probably be three times a week for sure, if not more at times, you know, unless rain outs play. In fact, like, you know, we'll, you know, probably go up to Fargo this weekend and race in Devil's Lake, possibly, something like that, and then back to Watertown on Sunday, because that's our normal Sunday track. And, you know, I'll Aberdeen, whenever they run. I don't miss my Aberdeen or Huron or Watertown tracks whenever they run, you know. So,
well, I'm curious about the genesis of racing. Were you always a racing first guy, or did you play other sports, youth sports growing up, football, basketball, tennis, golf, what have you?
You know, early on in junior high days or whatever, we played a little bit of sports, but not much. I kind of got after working and bought a race car, I guess, and then done that, raced go-karts when I was young, and then got into a super stock, and then translated into a late model and run a little bit of modified stuff in between, but mainly late models is kind of what I always grew up watching and loved and wanted to be in that. So,
was it kind of a family type thing? Were you kind of the, was it like a father, uncle, somebody like that kind of got you into it at all? Or
definitely my dad was always involved in racing for years, and of course took me to the races, and he helped out, like, you know, Al Nordstrom, Randy Nordstrom back in the day and stuff like that. So I was always around it and kind of fell in love with it. And he got me first couple cars. And
it's funny you bring that up. I feel like when we've talked to a couple racers, they say, hey, I went to a race growing up, and you kind of just it hit something, turn the light switch on, something like, hey, I love this. And they turn out to be racers. That kind of sounds like it happened to you as well.
Definitely. Yeah, it's it definitely got us hooked, and my buddies were involved in it too. And I had a lot of, you know, when I got rolling on racing, you know, I had a lot of buddies that were pitting with me and helping me. But since then, they've got families, grew up, and not go much anymore. But you know, I got my families behind me huge. You know, my kids are growing up, and my daughter's into it really hard. And got a couple other crew guys. And so it's makes it more fun when you got a lot of help, I guess, you know.
So are we talking late 90s, early 2000s when you kind of got started?
Yeah, it'd have been that 96 area, right in that area. Yep, 90, you know, 95, 96, something like that.
Because we're not from Aberdeen originally. He's from Pennsylvania. I'm from Illinois. How has Brown County Speedway changed since your first time out there? Is it kind of the same? Is it similar? Is it different?
You know, it's when I first got into a race car, the first promoter I ever raced for was Terry Bolts, you know.
Okay.
So then we went through a transition of 3-4 different promoters, and then now we're back to Terry and Kent and all them, you know, and it feels kind of good to be racing for them guys, you know. It's you know what you got, and I just enjoy that part of it, you know. But, yeah, it's involved a lot of different things, but, you know, the track was still the track, just different promoters, and good or bad, you got to go with it, you know. So
you talked a lot about your crew, and, you know, yes, you're racing, but there's a kind of a team aspect and involved with getting prepped every week. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. Yep, definitely. The way I always look at it is if you want to be fast, you're working on your car about every night, you know, getting stuff done. And we do tires certain nights. We work on, you know, nut and bolt the car and run through and go through everything, motor stuff. And you know, I got certain guys, you know, my daughter, she'll go through all the tires and work them and grind them. So I groove them and do all that stuff. And then Jaden is a Peterson. He's my daughter's boyfriend, actually, and helps us on it every night, too, and goes through it. And he's got his certain things he does, and my dad's got his certain things he does. And then at the racetrack, everybody kind of chimes in, and then, you know, my in-laws are into it hard, too, and my parents. And so, like I said, it's I got to say my family's probably into it more than I am sometimes.
You know, you know, sometimes, you know, in other sports, I'll say, sometimes they call it paralysis by analysis, like, oh, we need to change this, or we need to do this, or I need to watch more film on this, or whatever. Have you ever got to a point where you're working on something and you're working on it too much and you're kind of getting into your own head a little bit? Has that ever been a thing? I see you're nodding. You're like, maybe I've done that a time or two.
Oh, I've done it more than a time or two. Definitely. Sometimes it's nice to, and especially on setups on these cars, it's gotten crazy and wild and, you know, shock games and you know, people get certain engineers involved and it just gets out of hand, you know. So sometimes you just got to step back and relook at things and go back to baseline and then go at it, or take a weekend off. And you come back fresh, and it's surprising what it does, you know.
So do you do a lot of testing of those kinds of things, you know, during the week? when you're prepping for races, because you said, you know, you race about three times a week, so you got to make sure the car's not just ready for one night, but multiple nights.
Yep. We'll test at the beginning of the season, that test and tune for different racetracks, but there ain't a whole lot of them during the year unless you rent a racetrack or something like that to test at. But, you know, I don't ever bypass the test and tune up if there's one there. I'm usually playing at it or doing stuff where, you know, I learn a lot of things at that stuff. But we put a lot of nights into the year. I mean, the minimum we'll run is probably 40 nights, if not more, you know, through the summer. And that's usually usually get enough driving and doing that and testing and playing and stuff. But once you get to kind of a baseline, like I would like to be, and I'm kind of hard on myself to make sure my stuff's pretty perfect, you know. I want to say you don't need testing, but you kind of race enough on the weekend, I guess, you know.
So you're not going down Melgard at 3:30 in the morning, you know, just for a straightaway, you know, when there's not a lot of traffic out there, just to make sure you're good.
No, don't plan on that. We're not straight line racing.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Chad Becker here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. You got time for another segment here?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, perfect. We'll take a quick break and talk more with Chad Becker, late model winner from this last Friday, and of course, Brown County Speedway racer, and all over the place for that matter, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen on the AM dial at 1420 and 98.5 on the FM dial there, as Chad Becker joins us live in studio here on FSA. And again, thanks for taking some time and doing this for segment number two. And, yeah, you know, we're talking about high side and low side. You know, Rusty's kind of baptized us with some really, really good terms over the years. Feels like every time we have him on, we're learning something new. And you said you really don't care whether you're going high or low. You're going to win.
Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, a lot of guys get comfortable in one spot, and I've found out in years you got to run both to be able to win. So it's just we set up to run all over, I guess.
So did that take time to kind of figure that part of it out, or were you just like, hey, I'm going to do everything I can to win here?
Oh, definitely. I mean, people are comfortable on the bottom because you ain't at the risk of driving off the top or whatever, you know. You got to be confident in your car to run up there like we do, you know. Or run through the middle or run against other cars, per se, too, you know what I mean? So you got to be confident.
Do you remember your first win, what that was like for you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's been a lot of them since then, you know. So I think our first win actually came in here on, that was pretty huge for us. It was actually one of our first Newfaggers race cars back in the day, and been a lot of years since we run them things. But it was in one of them, and yeah, it was special. It's hard to remember. That's like I said, been a while, but I probably remember some of the bigger ones since then. But
yeah, and you mentioned you've won a lot, so are you a hey, I'm looking forward to the next thing type of person when you win? Do you like to soak it in? What's your kind of mentality with that?
I get really excited for, you know, and everybody does, I'm sure, money races or bigger races. I mean, it kind of excites me and gets me pumped up. I mean, regular nights do too. I mean, I have no more fun than going to Aberdeen on my normal Friday night, my hometown track and people, and winning there. It's a blast, you know. The money shows definitely get me amped up and work twice as hard and make sure my stuff is perfect. You know, it's definitely fun to get the cool trophies and be on the, you know, it's a neat deal. So yeah, so saying that, I definitely work harder on something like that.
So you also mentioned the fact that you're working on all of these sorts of things with your family, your daughter. You mentioned her boyfriend, and it just really is a family affair. So when you win, it's not just Chad Becker is in victory lane. How much pride do you think they take in your victories? Because it is an all-hands-on-deck thing. If not for a bolt here or there or a certain tweak here or there, you're not in first place. So it really is quite a team effort, like you mentioned.
Oh, definitely. I think they all take as much pride in it as I do, and which they should, you know. So it's you know, every victory lane we got, we probably got 20 people in the picture. So it's they're all part of it and love it, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So,
are you a stand on the top of the car guy when you win?
You know, we always joke about that a little bit once in a while. It's like, do you get on top of the car? And I'm like, yeah, maybe if we're winning a couple $1,000 show or bigger, I'll get on top of the car. But other than that, no, it's just a wave and do your thing. You know, it's just it takes a little bit to get me really pumped up, I guess, you know, but pretty calm guy. So
no, we don't need any blown out knees or ankles or anything like that trying to get up there. And that is a part of the sport, is injuries. Unfortunately, accidents happen. Have you ever been a part of an accident? And was it tough to kind of get back on that horse after maybe you fell off, if you will?
Oh, definitely. We've been through a couple bad ones. It's you know, one of our worst ones was probably in Huron, and that was a year after we won our first national title in 2012, actually, and destroyed a car down there, barrel rolled it end over end, and took me a little bit to get my confidence back and run it in the corner wide open again, you know, but it definitely come back, and we kept rolling, and it's still one of my favorite places to race down there. We've won some big races down there, took a few 10,000s and 5,000s down there and stuff like that, and I hope they keep running or do it again, you know, because I'll miss the place if it does close up. So
he kind of already answered it, but it does kind of shake up your confidence a little bit. How much time does it take to fire back, if you will, and after a situation like that?
You know, that deal there, we destroyed that car. I guess I had another one sitting in the corner, and we were back out the next week again and hard at it again, I guess. You know, it's you sit too long, I guess, you think about it more, but I just get back in it and go, I guess. But you got a lot of good safety equipment and everything, and we don't short on any of that stuff, so we're making sure stuff's good. And it's just, I guess I never want to get too shook up or too scared, I guess. So,
is there a lot of smack talk in racing at all?
Oh,
like other sports?
Definitely. You got to block a lot of that out.
Okay.
I mean, you got social media involved, so it never shuts down, you know. So there's a lot of people that don't like me and do like me, and we win quite a bit, so you're going to have your haters. And that's with anything. We actually had this conversation in the shop there at night because a couple people were talking, you know, and I explained to my daughter and stuff. It's like, you got to have it. The adversity, you know, to make it fun for people up there, you're going to have people in the crowd hate you and love you. It's just part of the game, you know. It's what makes it, you know. And I remember back when I was little, sitting in the grandstands. I mean, back in those days, the cops were hauling people out and fighting each other, or you know, Gilling or Armin, or you know, I watched all that growing up and raced against all that, you know, growing up, and kind of taught me to be where I'm at now, you know.
And you thought to yourself, I got to be a part of this.
Yes,
there you go, Chad Becker here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You mentioned the smack talk sometimes. It can be a little bit too much, regardless of sport. Has there been a time where you get into your own head, or you can see someone that are getting into their head a little bit too much with back and forth? And, you know, like Michael Jordan, you know, he's talking some smack, you know, back and forth between him and Barkley or something like that. And you can see it's kind of wearing on him a little bit. And you can kind of beat them before you even race them with the smack talk. Has that ever happened before, or vice versa?
It can definitely happen, of course. You know, you let stuff get in your head and you drive different or not. And, you know, I'd say years back, maybe I let some of that bother me a little bit, but anymore it's just another day to me, another race, you know, so I don't let it bother me too bad.
So where do you think you get your competitive edge from? Because you seem to be a pretty competitive type guy. You're out there to win every week.
Yeah, it's just kind of, I don't know, I guess I don't know where I exactly got that part of it from. I guess it's kind of grew up in me, you know. Me and my dad got into racing. It's you know, we kind of come into it green. He knew a little bit about it, you know, but we come into green and learn everything on our own, you know, and it took us a few years to get to where we are now by far, you know what I mean? We had a few years in it before we even won one, you know, so it's, but then when we started clicking them, we started kind of building, and then I got to say, since 2012 till now, we've won a minimum of 10, 12 a year, if not up in the 20s a year, you know, so it's been good.
Yeah, so, you know, some people, they win, they might be satisfied. Is that fair to say?
You're
kind of looking for that next win almost.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, somebody wins one thing, they're satisfied with that. Hey, I won. But there are certain levels where, hey, I'm trying to win that next thing, and you got that.
Yeah, definitely. It's you always want to, you know, you've won a few. We won a few of the 100s and the Rumble and other Challenger races or whatever, you know. It's like, you pick out the next show you want to try to conquer and win, and there's some of them out there for me yet. You know, it's just, if time prevails for us to go do that, we go do it and try to get it, you know. But everything gets busier these days too, you know, family, work, everything, all that stuff. So you got to kind of make it all balance out.
I'm curious about the safety side of things, because when you got started in the late 90s, I'm sure safety then was a little bit different than safety now in 2025. How have you kind of seen that grow and change and evolve?
Oh, definitely. It's you know, from racing seats, you know, we went through 3-4 different generations of them things for comfort levels. Now you're boxed in, like you can hardly move your head right or left to look, you know what I mean? So so that part of it's good, you know, and helmets and fire suits and, you know, certain Hans devices, stuff like that makes it different. I'm probably the slower guy getting into some of that. I get set in my habits and don't want to change, and because I'm used to it. So that it takes me longer to want to, you know, put this safety device on or that, you know, and I still hold back on some yet, you know. But all in all, I mean, your seats and all that stuff hold you really well.
So my guess is you have pretty good peripheral vision then if you can't move your head well.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to look out the corner of your eye to see everything by far. You know, you're moving your head much, so.
That's crazy. I can't imagine being in that seat at that speed with all of the noise and the dirt and the dust that's getting kicked up. Did you have kind of a welcome to racing moment where things just did not go your way? Or maybe they were incredible for you, just that first couple of races. I know, you, like you said, you've won a lot and you've been doing it now for a lot of years, but did you ever kind of have like a welcome to racing moment where maybe one of the older guys, you know, kind of brings you along and kind of teaches you a thing or two, and that camaraderie, what that's kind of like?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's, you know, I want to say getting into racing, you know, kind of climbing the ranks or whatever you want to call it. We never really had, a guy that stood there and said, we need to do this or that. Like I said, me and my dad just kind of learned a lot of it on our own, and we'd ask questions here and there. But if you're climbing a ladder, a lot of guys don't want to necessarily help you either get there, you know. So you got to learn a lot of stuff on your own, and you take some falls too, of course, you know. But yeah, there was, I mean, you know, when I first got into a late model, I mean, we were running with late model counts as we are now. You know, late models died off a little bit in between some of that. It wasn't as many, but now we're climbing again, and it's the you know, fields are flourishing pretty good. So, but you know, this first few nights in late model is pretty wild. I mean, it's coming out of super stock or whatever. It took us a little time to adjust, but I want to say we adjusted to it. I mean, we definitely had, like I said earlier, you know, we raced against back then, you know, Kent, you know, we got Gilling, and then you had more different times like that way back then. I mean, they took a lot of wins from me on the last lap, you know what I mean? It's like where their experience paid off and I was still learning, sure. You know? So it's like, especially in Huron, you know? So it's, but that kind of built us to where we are now, you know? So
I'm glad you brought up the last lap, because that was going to be my next question. You've been in first at the last lap. I'm sure you've been in second chasing the guy in first. What's kind of the difference there? Does your mentality change at all? Obviously, you're trying to win the thing, and when you're first, you're trying to hold the lead. But my guess is that's a little different from time to time.
Well, sometimes the guy in second has a pretty good chance on that last lap because he can throw a haymaker or a slider or whatever and get you on the last. I mean, I've done that a lot and won a lot of races doing that on the last lap. Then I've also got beat on that last lap by slide jobs or whatever. And, you know, when you're out front, you're a sitting duck, you know, unless you know you got good room and, you know, signal guys or whatever telling you what's going on. So it's, yeah, it can be won or lost a lot on that last lap.
How much film do you watch on your old races? You know, is it just kind of watching the stream, or do you have people that film your races, specifically part of your team, and you're like, hey, you know, I really liked what I did here. Is there a lot of film study in racing for you?
Yes, definitely. You know, for a lot of years, my mom, you know, filmed a lot of the races, so I went back and I'd watch and see the attitude my car has here or not, or where I'm screwing up, or who else looks good. And you know, now these days you got like Dirt Race Central, Flow, a lot of things like that. You can go on and watch races. And so that's really nice to go back and put on your TV and watch it. And we will, me and my boys and wife and my daughter will pull it up on a big screen and watch them. And it's kind of nice to go back and look at that and see what you did do wrong. And it really tells you a lot about your car, you know. So it's, yeah, I do that. And sometimes when I go to a new track, I'll watch races on that thing and see how guys are entering a corner or coming out or whatever, and you learn a lot by doing that.
Do you care where you start usually?
Oh, you always want to start closer to the front, but sometimes you don't, you know, and you got to come through, you know. It's just and it all depends what race you go to. A lot of them are redraw or invert just point average. You never, you know, this year some of that went away, so it's more redraw, which we've been pretty lucky on the draw stuff this year, which just makes it easier, you know.
Couple more here with Chad Becker live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We're big on the pre-match ritual or pre-game ritual, pre-race rituals. Do you have any? And are you a superstitious guy, or you do a couple things that just make you feel more comfortable out there?
No, I'm not really superstitious, I guess. I'm pretty down-earth normal in that situation. I don't do much there, no.
You a pre-music guy to get you locked in, or are you just kind of rolling up ready to roll?
Yeah, pretty much rolling up ready to roll.
I mean, obviously, you're talking to your team on the headset. why not throw 94.1 The Rock out or something like that? You listen to the radio at all in some of those these races, or not so much? Probably
no,
not.
No. It's the trailer and the rig going there. It's about it.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm teasing, of course. But what do those conversations look like when you're talking to your team, when you're out there?
You know, we can't talk to nobody when we're racing, of course.
They can talk to you, right?
Just the officials.
Oh, I see.
That's all. So just the official can, you know, tell you, you know, red flag, yellow flag, green flag, whatever, on stop, or this guy's got to go behind this guy, or whatever. You can't talk back, no. Hmm. And it's just the officials.
Okay.
So you're kind of learning on your own, I guess, for the most part, when you're out on the track.
Yeah, you got signal guys that can signal, you know, like my daughter signals me now, used to be my nephew, and, you know, what you can see of them, where they're standing, you know, if you're up or down, or somebody's coming or catching you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of that's helpful, but anymore, a lot of it for me is just go off my feel and what I know, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but why is that not, is that just verboten, it's just not allowed?
Or it's not allowed. Yeah.
Why is that the case? Do you think they'll ever allow that?
You know, I don't know. It's, you know, I suppose like NASCAR stuff, some of that stuff does that, but, you know, I suppose they figured it's an advantage at times. Some teams can or can't do that, you know, or forward it or whatever, you know. It's probably something that needs to stay out of it, you know what I mean? Just let the driver do the deal.
Gotcha.
So what's coming up next year for you?
We'll be racing this weekend, three nights probably. Then we got the big one coming up in 2 weeks in Aberdeen again, the Rumble. We're on that one, and then on to the rest of the year. I get pretty busy, I think, for specials and stuff. So,
Did you race both nights for the Andy Daly Memorial?
Yep.
Did you know Andy back in the day?
Yep. He was a good guy. Really, really. They were asking about him at the races. You know, one of the announcer deals, and you know, a likable guy. You talk to anybody, and he was just a really good guy.
So when you win on an Andy Daly night, does it mean a little bit more to you?
It does. It's very special. You know, it's definitely something you want to do, you know.
All right. Cobra, you got any more?
I'm good.
Yeah, I think I am too. Any final thoughts, comments? Maybe you want to shout out your team a little bit more, and I'm sure a lot of great sponsors helping you out,
Oh, definitely. You know, I got a lot of sponsors have been behind me for years, actually, and one of the, you know, biggest ones that's been behind me for years is the whole Odie family, you know, the Aberdeen Wings. They've been sponsoring me since I started racing, you know, so it's they're huge to me and mean a lot to me. So, and then we got Nickus and Angus Ranch and Harvesting, Denver and his family. We got State Farm, Chad Bent. Got Silty Farms out of Ipswich, Ultimate Graphics, keep the car looking good. Fastenal out of Sioux Falls, Brandon, he's been big with us for years, too, and always taking care of us. Martin's Decorative Stone out of Mina, Bruce. And then we got Zeitner & Sons Refrigeration Transport, a big help to us. We got Factory CS, and there's some of the new guys with this new car and helping us getting it set up and everything. Grote Sheet Metal, Heating Cooling, our company. RBL Designs, Russ. Brad's Auto Glass. And then the whole family. And PM Auto, Truck Repair at Ipswich, Sherry's my in-laws. And everybody's a big part of it and helps make this thing go around.
Well, continued success. Thanks again for popping in studio and joining us here today, and good luck this upcoming weekend and going forward.
Yep, thank you.
Absolutely. Chad Becker here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen, so it's not just show up and race. There's a lot that goes into these races every single night, and we appreciate Chad taking some time out of his schedule and joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Darian Street, head coach of the Aberdeen Swim Club. He'll be joining us live in studio tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And our thanks once again to Chad Becker for taking some time out of his schedule and joining us here on FSA. And you said to him off the air, and I'll echo it as well, feels like you learn something. Every time we have one of these racers on, we learn something new.
And Chad's the definition of a guy who's locked in.
Yes.
Which I'm a big fan of. Like, he's dialed in, ready to roll. He was talking to us off the air, like, if something doesn't feel right, he's going to tell you, and they're going to make that change. Sometimes, he was saying, sometimes you see guys that, you know, don't feel it, or they feel it and they just let it roll.
Yeah.
Chad's a guy that's locked in, and he wants everything to kind of feel perfect, and the results show that, and that's what's impressive.
Yeah, you don't talk about national championships unless you're dialed.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that he even said dialed, I kind of got a little chuckle to myself. I was like, this guy means business, and he's done a great job, absolutely. And we appreciate him taking some time for sure. Also of note, this one got tossed my way yesterday, the Groton Area Clay Target League. They had a very successful season. Terrific showing at the national level there in Mason, Michigan at the U.S. High School Clay Target League National Championships here this last weekend, and representing Groton on the national level was Peyton Mitchell and many others there as well, and Turner Thompson in particular turning out a 12th place finish out of 1,800 shooters.
Wow.
12th place out of 1,800 shooters, so a big shout out to Turner Thompson in particular.
Well, that's incredible. 1,800, you're finishing top 12. That's a really nice job, and congratulations to him and that whole program.
Very good stuff there from Thompson, as well as the Morehouses and some Mitchells and Campas in there too. Check out the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page for more details and information. Hey, speaking of Groton, they took care of business yesterday on the diamond over Milbank post nine, I should say. And I've seen some football games that have had this score or even less than. It was kind of a defense optional sort of game, if you will. Groton defeats Milbank post 9 13-10 in some Legion baseball yesterday.
Yeah, just kicked a game-winning field goal there late, and they came away with a W. But, yeah, you see that sometimes, man. Offenses just finding their groove late in the year, pitching. Guys are getting used to seeing live pitching, and you can get some offensive explosions like that.
And check out, again, our website for more details there. And Sisseton, they took a pair from Big Stone City yesterday, 7-4 and 6-3, while the Redfield Dairy Queen squad beat up on the Falkton Hitmen 12-2, your final tally there. SDGA Sanford Series, that was out west in Rapid City. On the girls' side of things, I think Rylan Horning is here to stay. I mean, this is a really nice gal who has won and won big, and she did yesterday there as well. At Meadowbrook Golf Course for that two-day event. She won by 7 strokes over the rest of the field. Olivia Braun and company did not partake in this one, but Claire Crawford, another Aberdeen native that plays in these international series. But Horning, of course, won the Class A crown on the high school side of things here this last spring, so she's a player.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and these summer series events, they can just help your confidence going into the next season. So not surprising she played well, and we'll keep an eye on that moving forward.
Darien Street, next episode of The Hub tomorrow.